Number 10. So I'm not sure what we're going to do Wednesday night. We won't have King's Kids, and we'll just have a good time Wednesday night. Look forward to the time together. Prayer time, 6:30, and church time, 7 o'clock, and you be here. All right, Romans chapter number 10. And I want to read a section of Scripture in Romans chapter number 10. We're in Romans 10 this week, and next week we'll be in Romans chapter 11. I'm planning on doing, I think I'm going to get it done in 3 podcasts again next week. It's a little bit longer chapter, but I think we can get it all in 3 podcasts next week. And encourage you to listen to those and spend some time studying Romans chapter number 11. And if you're in our Sunday school class, you have something to share within Sunday school class. And hopefully we'll have our regular Sunday school classes next week with the teenagers and things. So Romans chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 9. Verse number 9 and 10 are verses that, in verse number 13, are probably verses that everyone here knows from Romans chapter number 10. But let's begin in verse number 9 and go down through verse number 17, which is another verse that probably most people in here know. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be, what's that word? Saved. Isn't that a great word? You know for sure you're saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved from death. Saved from the domain of Satan. For the with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I like that word, ashamed. Now we think of ashamed as, you know, when you blush, when you're embarrassed about something. But the word ashamed really has the meaning of being confounded, being overtaken, being consumed in darkness, being destroyed. And we know through him, we will not have to face that eternal destruction. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. Have you called upon him to be your Savior? Say amen. 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 That's a good thing to know. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that's not a question, but that's a statement. We know that we're saved, not because we deserve it, not because we're good enough, not because we've earned it, but because we've called upon him and trusted him to save us. Now, verse number 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to share something with you tonight that I think will be kind of fun, kind of interesting, something worth thinking about. But let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the truth of the gospel, for the righteousness of God, God's plan of redeeming lost man. God, I'm thankful that you loved us when we were unlovely. Thank you, you died for us while we were yet sinners, that you commended your love towards us. You initiated your love for us. And Lord, we love you tonight because you first loved us. And God, we thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ. And I pray that you would help us to appreciate, enjoy, and be more thankful for it every day of our lives until we get to your presence in heaven. And God, that each day we take a step closer to you in our walk with you. And we pray that you would bless our time together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You ever think what heaven's going to be like? We can't even begin to imagine. I know we got some ideas of what heaven's like, but I think if God gave us the understanding of what heaven was today, I think our minds would just explode. We couldn't handle it. What heaven would be like. And we, in our little bit of understanding we have, think that, oh, heaven will be great. That's all we can say. It's going to be great. It's going to be something we can never even imagine. And the Bible describes some things of heaven that were really hard to imagine, but it's going to be much better than anything that God could tell us because we can't comprehend. But one day when we get to heaven and there's something about heaven, what language are we going to speak in heaven? Probably English. No, anything but English. What's the language we're going to speak in heaven? Some people say, well, it's probably a universal language. Some people say, well, it's probably Hebrew. We don't know. But whatever language it is, I can guarantee you, we already know two words of that language. But there's two words that are the same in any language you speak. And if you like to watch these silly science fiction shows and movies, it always kind of cracks me up. And I know this isn't very spiritual, but sometimes I think they're kind of funny to watch. These scientific, you know, somebody goes, you know, in the regions beyond and they land on some foreign space. Isn't it amazing? They can always breathe the air there. And they can always talk to people. And everybody speaks English anywhere you go in the galaxy or beyond the galaxy. But when we get to heaven, and by the way, heaven's real. That's not a fictitious place. When we get to heaven, we're all going to completely understand each other. There's going to be one language. And the two words that we know right now, what are they? Amen and hallelujah. Amen means so be it. Amen is one of the names of God. He is the great Amen. And then the word hallelujah, which means praise the Lord or praise ye the Lord. Praise God. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with using those words today. In fact, it'd be good to have those words in our vocabulary. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen? And say it with me. Amen. It doesn't hurt at all, does it? You can speak a foreign language there. And then the great word, hallelujah. Say that with me. Hallelujah. Or as we said in Missouri, hallelujah. But hallelujah. Those are two great words. Now, you think of this. One day, I'm going to have a new body in heaven. This old body is getting worn out the older I get. And it doesn't do the things that I'd like it to do sometimes. But one day I'm going to have a new body. And I'm looking forward to that new body. The book of Romans chapter 11 verse 13 says, "And knowing that the time is now, that the time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed." You know, when you got saved, you got 100% saved. You're on your way to heaven. Your destination is secure. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation according to the Bible. Now, a lot of religions don't teach that. But we're still struggling with our sin nature. And Paul talks about when our salvation is complete, when our body is no longer subject to sin. When our body is no longer subject to death, when we've been given a new body, Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, where he says, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption." You know what corruption means? That means it's dying, it's decaying, it's rotting. That's why you take showers once a week, whether you need it or not, because your body will stink after a while. It's corruptible. But we're going to have a new body one day. And this mortal must put on immortality. That new body will never die. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Death will be no more. We'll be in heaven. Now, I want you to think about this. I said all that by way of introduction. I can partially enjoy my new body today. I want you to notice in the text that we just read, there are four things that were mentioned that are a part of our body that are very important for us to understand what God has already done. God's already, just like God has given us two words of heaven's language, God's given us something when we were saved that we can already enjoy a little taste of what this new body is going to be. If you look at Romans chapter number 10, verses 9 through, that's not right what I have written down, but I know the verses that I'm looking for, verses number 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine, what's that word? Heart. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with thee, what's the word again? Heart. Man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made, there's two of them mentioned right there. But we're going to look at one first, and that is the heart. God's given us a heart that believes. My heart is something that the Bible speaks of, and we speak of it still today, as our soul, our inner being, who we are on the inside, our emotions, our thoughts, our desires, everything about us, our heart. There's something else, another body organ that God used to describe, especially in the Old Testament, and that's your liver. That's not very, very pleasant to think about, is it? I love you with all my liver. That doesn't do much for you, does it? Maybe we should say, sometimes I say my gizzard. But we don't have gizzards, do we? Well, some of us might. I don't know. some of us evolved to have gizzards. I'm not sure. That's my inner being, my heart. And by the way, God knows my heart. I don't know my heart, but God's changed something in my heart. You know, there's a great truth in a simple little song that we sing with the kids. Remember the color crayon song or the wordless book song? My heart was black with sin until the Savior came in. His precious blood I know has washed me white as snow. That's not the crayon song. That's a little different than that. That's the wordless book song. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But when I get saved, I trust Him with my heart, with who I am on the inside. I come to Him with a filthy, black, vile, wicked heart, and He changes my heart. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of me. He comes a part of me. And the heart that now believes, my body's been changed from the inside out. Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That verse tells us that the Holy Spirit, the Word of God shows me what's in my heart, but also it shows us there is a difference between my heart and my soul. Now, some people that call themselves theologians like to debate whether they think the heart and the soul is actually the same thing. But God says that the Word of God can distinguish between the two. I'm not sure sometimes if that's my heart or if that's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to figure out. Is God telling me that, or is that just my sinful heart saying that? And that's a struggle that we have as Christians. But the fact is that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of our heart. Now, we say Jesus comes in our heart, we tell the kids, but in reality, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said He and the Holy Spirit are one and the same, and God the Father is one and the same. So technically, you could divide it any way you want to. But Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse number 19, and also Ezekiel 36 and 26, they say basically the same thing. There's one or two words missing in one verse from the other, but Ezekiel 11:19 says, and I will give them, talking about the nation of Israel, those that believe on Him, one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them an heart of flesh. God changes our hearts. And when we get saved, we become a new creation. I think of a lot of people I've watched, and I look back at my own life when I trusted Christ as my Savior, and the change that took place in my heart kind of scared me for a while. I thought, man, I'm losing my mind. Things are so different now from the inside, and I can't explain what happened. I think many years ago, Brother Don and I were in the jail, and one of the first people we met at the jail ministry, I remember going into the jail cell, and here's this guy that stood up bigger than me, and he muscular, athletic-looking guy, and he said, and we asked him about his salvation. He said, "Oh, yeah, I trust in Christ." And, you know, everybody gets jailhouse religion sometime. He said, "Yeah, I trust in Christ as my Savior." And I think I asked him something like, "Well, how do you know that you're saved? How do you, what's different now that you're saved?" And he said, "Well, the other day, I beat somebody up." And I beat up all kinds of people in my life. And I thought, "Yeah, I believe that." And I kind of stepped back when he said that. And he said, "But for the first time in my life, I felt bad about beating this guy up." There's something different in his heart. You see, God changes something in our heart when we truly get saved. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a perfect person, but there's something different inside. And my heart that now believes, I'm partially enjoying. Now, when I get to heaven, God's going to do away with my old sin nature, and I'm going to have a completely new heart. But then, the part of my body that can enjoy His presence today, a heart that believes, and secondly, a mouth that confesses. You notice in the verses we read in verse number 9 and 10, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth. In verse number 10, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A mouth that now confesses. In verse number 12 and 13, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that will call upon Him. We call upon Him with our mouth. "Lord, save me." And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To confess, and I generally explain it this way, it's a simple way to understand what the word confess means. It doesn't mean I have to stand up in front of people and shout it out, but it literally means to agree with God. And I said it again this morning, in this morning's message, is to confess my sin and say, "God, I know I'm a sinner." To agree with God, God's assessment of me. I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus died for me. I know He rose from the dead. I know He would save me if I called upon Him. Jesus, would you save me? God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And I call upon Him to be my Savior. As verse number 13 says, I believe in Him, and I confess unto Him. I believe in my heart, and now God changes my heart. I confess with Him. Someone asked me once in a while, "Do you believe in speaking in new tongues?" Oh yeah, I believe in speaking in new tongues. When I got saved, when God got a hold of my tongue, He changed my tongue, gave me a new tongue. And instead of a cussing tongue, I got a praising tongue now. Instead of a mumbling, grumbling tongue, I got a singing and joyful tongue. Now, Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 19 through 20. And this is one of the first evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit that shows us in Ephesians 5, 18. Verse number 19 and 20 says, speaking to yourselves in song. I talk to myself. That's a spiritual thing, by the way, to talk to yourself. Besides, sometimes I need expert advice, so I always talk to myself, right? Speaking to yourselves in mumblings and grumblings and complainings, huh? The Israelites were good at that. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always in all things for this to the God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to quote another verse that says, "For this is the will of God in you." But that's a different reference. But a new tongue. A mouth that confesses. A mouth that learns to speak a new language. And the only two words I know in that language that I'm going to speak in heaven right now is amen, hallelujah. Again, those are good words to start using now. Get used to using them. We don't have to go to language school when we get to heaven. Won't that be good? Our missionaries that go to different countries, they get learn a new culture, learn a new language. Sometimes they go to schooling for years. I think of our missionary, well, I can't say where they're at because they might get in trouble. We support them. They've been on mission field for many years, and now they're older than me, and they went to another mission field, another country, where they're learning a new culture and a new language. I thought, man, we went to visit Nathan and Tina a while back, and I thought, I couldn't learn a new culture. I couldn't adjust to this. I couldn't learn a new language. I don't know if I was smart enough when I was younger, but I sure know I'm not now. But this dear couple up in older than I am, we'll just say that, and they're learning a new language. But when we get to heaven, we won't even have to study this language. We'll just know it when we get there. God will give us a new tongue, and He's given us, we can enjoy that new tongue today in praising Him. And then notice in verse number 15, in Romans chapter number 10, another body part that's mentioned here. Verse number 15. And how shall they preach except... And by the way, I'm going to go back and I'm going to back up a little bit. Verse number 14. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What do our feet look like? Sad to say, I see some people's feet around here. Oh, we had to call ourselves a hillbilly Baptist church. Huh? Sometimes the stores you go in now, no shoes, no shirt, no mask anymore, they got to say. No shoes, no shirt, no service here, but you can still come to the service without feet here. I'm a southerner at heart, but our feet are not generally real attractive. That's why we like to cover them up. Sometimes they don't really smell that good either, do they? Our feet are not something we necessarily desire to show off very often. But our feet are designed to carry burdens. Our feet are often abused and neglected, taken for granted. They're maybe more than anything else the workhorse of our body. God says, we work for Him. We use our feet. Having our feet shod or shoed with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Ephesians chapter number 6 talks about. And the quotation here in Romans 10:15 is from Isaiah 52, where God says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bringeth good tidings and publisheth peace and bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. In fact, he leads into, he also quotes later in Isaiah 53, which cause us to focus on Isaiah 52 and 53 and verse 50. Isaiah 53 and verse number 1 says, who hath believed our report, to whom hath the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's believed our report? And to whom has God revealed His strength and His arm? Those that carry the gospel of peace, that share the good news with others. You know, if we get in the habit of sharing the gospel, God says that we'll have a special relationship with Him. God promises a special bond with those. Remember when God gave the Great Commission in the Gospel of Matthew? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then the last verse says, and if we do those things, God says, and lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always. God's promised a special blessing, a special presence to those that share the gospel, that have beautiful feet, that tell others about the Lord, that share God's love with others. And then one other body part. God says, well, these are things that we ought to notice. I want my heart to be converted. My heart to believe on Him. I want my mouth to confess Him. I want my feet to work for Him and to walk the streets and tell others about Him, to bear the good news. And then, Romans 10, in verse number 17, notice, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. I want to have a heart that believes. I want to have a mouth that confesses. I want to have beautiful feet. And I want to have ears that hear. There's only one way to get faith in God. In fact, the way of salvation was given to us earlier. If you go back to verse number 14, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on Him whom they've never heard? How can they put their faith in someone who's never, who they've never heard of? Unless we tell people about Jesus Christ, they will never hear and they will never have an opportunity to believe on Him. And just as sure as we're saved by hearing and receiving the gospel, we grow in our faith by hearing and receiving the Word of God. The only way to gain faith is not by experience, not by prayer. Of course, having your prayers answered, boy, that builds your faith, that builds your confidence. But our confidence needs to be not in our ability to pray, our ability to beg God for things, but our confidence ought to come and our faith ought to be based upon the Word of God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There's so many things that distract us from the Word of God today. And I encourage people, and I just determine, especially since this last year or so, when we've been, all you hear about is this silly pandemic that everybody's panicked about. And I know there's something to it, but there's not near as much to it as the news media is trying to scare us with. But we get all wrapped up in what's true and what's not true, and we argue and debate. And I think even more than ever, the words of Jesus, the question that He asked when He's talking about His second coming in Luke chapter 18, He says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find anybody that's still digging into the Word of God? Well, we talk about everything else, but the Word of God just kind of loses our interest. And the only way we're going to gain faith is getting in to this book by reading it, studying it, hearing it, paying attention to it. Hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Revelation 1, verse number 13. God puts it, and by the way, that's, of course, the book of Revelation is about the revealing of Jesus Christ. It's not telling us how things are going to fall into place at the end time. It's revealing Jesus Christ to us. That's the theme. That's the title of the book of Revelation. Early in the book, in fact, it's in the third verse of Revelation chapter 1, says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Hear that Jesus is coming. Hear that He's alive. It's real. And hear the Word of God. Not only hear, but pay attention. Listen to what you're reading. You know, some of us grew up with an inability to read with comprehension. And we struggled with that and had to do so, go the extra mile to learn how to read with comprehension and how to get past that roadblock or hurdle, whatever you want to call it, in our lives. And maybe we understand more than others how easy it is to read. I remember in school, the teacher would say me to read something and I'd struggle through it while all the other kids are giggling at me because I couldn't pronounce the words right and couldn't keep my place, and I'd get all the way through the paragraph that I had to read, and then the teacher would say, what did that say? I have no idea what it just said. All I was thinking about is getting those words out. And I had a hard enough time doing that. That's all I could do. I didn't hear anything that I just read. I'm afraid that's how a lot of folks are when it comes to the Word of God. We hear, but we're not hearing. Jesus said a great statement in Mark chapter number 4. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he saith unto them, take heed what you hear. In other words, listen to what you're hearing. Sometimes we hear things and we're not really hearing them. overhear things in our minds wandering over here. Well, we think they said this, and I find that often in preaching. Well, I think he said this. I'm not sure what he said. I'm not sure. He just read that. But I think, and sometimes people approach about, well, it says this, but I'm not sure what it really meant, and looking for some hidden. Just listen to what you're hearing. Pay attention to what you're hearing. And we need to be selective in our hearing. Listen to the things that will build our faith rather than destroy our faith. The only thing I know that will build our faith is this book. You listen to too much other stuff, it's going to destroy your faith instead of building your faith. And the simplicity of teaching and preaching from the book. Be selective in your hearing. Be very careful about what you fill your mind with through your ears. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Verse number 14 through 17, the Apostle Paul instructs Timothy, strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved. Study what? The news? The current events? I like to study different things. I find pleasure in applying different things in our world of science or the world of history to scripture knowledge. But our focus ought to first and foremost be upon the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase the more to more ungodliness, and the words eat as doth a canker. They're a cancer that will destroy you. Be careful. Be selective in what you read. Give yourself to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And I determined a long time ago that if I'm going to live the Christian life, I want to be a faithful Christian. I want to be obedient to God. And the only way I can do that is get into this book and read and study and hear. In fact, I found it a great encouragement to me because when I learned to read, I found it very helpful to listen while I read or even read out loud to hear myself when I read. It helped with the comprehension. It's the way I overcame that roadblock in my life personally that others have experienced the same thing. And hearing is something, and I got used to listening to the Word of God, and still sometimes I felt kind of guilty, and I didn't dare tell anybody this for years, that sometimes I get more out of just turning the lights off and listening to things being read. And I can comprehend. I get more comprehension that way than actually looking at paper. Not everybody's like that. Everybody's, God's created us all unique. And that's just the way that my mind works. It's easier for me to comprehend. And sometimes I speed up the reading, and my wife says, it gives me a headache to listen to it that fast. You know, slow it down. But it just helps me to hear. And I used to think, well, that's used to feel like I'm unspiritual because I'm not reading the Bible. And the preacher always says you ought to read the Bible. But then I looked at those verses again. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And Revelation chapter, and that's the verse that I saw first in Revelation 1. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy. But I want ears that hear the Word of God. I want to be careful what kind of things I listen to. I enjoy music, and I just determined, I'm grateful that I did this. I'm not going to listen to anything as far as music unless it's something out of this book right here. That wasn't the book our church used, but I just got a copy of the book, the hymnal that our church used, and I thought that's going to be the only songs I'm going to listen to. If something's on the radio and it's not in the hymnal, I'm going to shut it off. If I'm listening to a song and it's not in the hymnal, and it's a little bit strict, I know. That's just something that I determined that helped me tremendously. I'm going to be careful about what I put in these ears. And I'm going to be careful about what I hear. And I'm going to be careful about what I read. I'm going to spend more time reading this book than I read anything else. More time in the Word of God because I want to have ears that hear, that I can live by faith and know what it is. I can partially enjoy this new body, this new nature that God's given to us today by a heart that believes, a mouth that confesses, and feet that share the gospel, that walk and work for God, and ears that hear the Word of God. one day, and this is the day we're all looking forward to if you're saved, everything's going to be new. Won't that be great? I won't have a sin nature anymore. I won't have the struggles that I have today. I won't have the suffering and the heartache and the burdens to carry. I'm looking forward to that day. But one day, the book of Revelation says He'll make all things new. But for right now, He's just given us a little taste. He's given us a little foretaste of heaven by giving us a heart that believes, a mouth that confesses, and feet that can be beautiful, and ears that can hear. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.